still in our teaching series from the month of October into November. We'll be talking about content. Amen. Today we are going into something very important, especially as we are journeying towards the immersion camp. It's a very important subject, which we've titled Berean. Amen. Glory. Open quickly to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. I know someone may be wondering, what does Berean mean? Maybe you are a Christian and you've not heard that phrase or that word before. Today you will know what it means. Hallelujah. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, from verse 15. It says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by our word or our epistle. It says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. That means the apostles of Jesus knew that they had established traditions. Traditions in the church. Praise the Lord. Traditions. So there are things that must not be lost in the church. Are you with me? It says, stand fast and hold the traditions. We are living in a time where people are trying to make the church as trendy as possible. They are trying to make it as user-friendly as possible. But you see, the secret of the future is in the past. And the old rugged part is still the most important part. Are you with me? And so, if it is Christianity we are practicing, if it is the Christianity of our Lord Jesus Christ, if it is the Christianity that the early apostles established, the traditions must not be lost. Now, the way the traditions are practiced may change, but the traditions may not be lost. Are you following me? You know the funny thing? Even the world of darkness or the dark world, they understand this even more. Do you realize that the battle against homosexuality and lesbianism and what we call sodomy is as old as Abraham? That civilization was just repackaged and brought back. The same demons responsible for it in Sodom and Gomorrah. Are you following me? They are still here. They've kept the traditions. But you see, the church and many people trying to blend in, they are making a mistake. And so, we must hold fast the traditions. Tell your neighbor, hold fast the traditions. Let me show you something else. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6 to 7. 2 Thessalonians 3, from verse 6 to 7. The Bible says, now we command you, this is still Apostle Paul writing to the church in Thessalonica. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. Hey God, what a statement. You know, this is why you need to read the Bible, because like we're going to find out in this series, in this particular sermon, if you don't read the Bible, you will accept things that are contrary to what Christ has said. I'm telling you, you will embrace things that Jesus will say, I know not of it. Look at them. They said, just try this and say, today, every brother does not work according to the order in this church. Insta blog may carry you. You say, these pastors, they are narcissists. You know, this generation, we have a lot of new words. We have words that they are narcissistic. You know what it means to be narcissistic? So, the word narcissist came from the German empire. When Adolf Hitler was crazy about German dominance over the world, and so they were called the Nazis. They had one red and black flag like that, and Adolf Hitler I believe he was possessed by something. He was literally controlling more than half of the world. I believed in German dominance above all tribes and all races. It was intoxicating him like a spirit. If you don't submit to Germany, he will destroy you. They will run over you. The kind of war crimes Adolf Hitler committed. And so, after his reign, and after he died, when it was clear that he was going to die, do you know what he did? He said, instead of somebody to kill me, I will kill myself. Killed himself, killed his wife, killed his children. He said, I cannot stand the fate of another woman to take my life. So, if a person is self-consumed, they will call him a narcissist. But, see the apostles of Jesus. He says, now we command you in the name of Jesus, anybody that does not walk according to the traditions, that is walking disorderly, withdraw yourself from them. People will say you are a narcissist. But, like you can see, it's not all about them, it's about Jesus. Because, are you following this? In the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. That ye withdraw yourself from everybody that walketh disorderly and not after the traditions which he received of us. Now, see verse 7. He says, for yourselves know how ye ought to follow us. Hey, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Let me pause there. For ye yourselves know how you ought to follow us. There is a way to follow a minister. There is a way to follow your pastor. There is a way. It is so serious that the Bible says, that those who will be leaders in the church, God will judge them separately. Have you seen it in the book of James chapter 3? It says, not every one of you should try to be a teacher. For we that are going to be teachers, we are going to receive greater condemnation. All this one, you run, if you just run and open church, no problem. Because there is a way to follow a minister. That's why, have you not seen things where people who follow the minister, why is it that everybody will make a mistake? People will overlook. But when a minister makes a mistake, it will trend. Because God expects that, there is a way you ought to follow your pastor and soak into him properly. So when that kind of man makes a mistake, are you with me? You know, somebody showed me a video of a pastor who somebody hit his car. And the pastor came out and slapped the person and said, why did you... They actually bashed the pastor's car very badly. So why did you... And actually, the pastor did not just slap, also punched the person. And that was strange. And that person was like, who remembers that video? Okay, it's like the pastor knows everything. But people were angry. Why would a pastor... First of all, I was like, at least they bashed the pastor's car. People did not even think about him. Eh? But you see, that's the kind of scrutiny. Are you following me? That's the kind of scrutiny that follows a minister. Because there is a way God expects you to follow your pastor. So some things that can be overlooked for other people, it cannot be overlooked for him. Now you are wondering, where is pastor going with all of this? You will soon find out. But the first thing we talk about is what? Traditions. Tell me what? Traditions. Now, these traditions, we are instructed in the Bible to contend for it. To contend for it. The Bible says in Jude chapter 1 verse 3. It says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith. Some of you may have noticed, anytime I read this verse, I have to increase my voice at earnestly. Who has noticed that? Because there is a way, you cannot say earnestly, earnestly. No, the earnestly must be really, really earnest. It says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, do you realize that this was not so far away from when Christ has ascended and the early church was still on ground? And Apostle Jude is saying that we should earnestly contend for the faith. How much more now? Why are you earnestly contending for the faith? He would tell you in the next verse. He said, for certain men crept in unawares,
who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord and our Lord Jesus, the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. What does this mean? Let me unpack this verse for you. He's saying that the reason you should earnestly contend for the faith is because there will be people who will come and try to dilute it. Are you following me? There will be people who will come in and say, it's not this serious now. Praise the Lord. It says in verse 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Meaning there will be people who will come and make the faith look like it's not as serious as it ought to be. Or we are taking it too much. You are doing this thing too much. You'll say, our God is gracious and merciful now. Why are you taking this thing on your head like this? Why are you so serious? He says, contend, because there will be people who will come and turn the grace of our God into lasciviousness. In the Old Testament, prophets came and said, they can die for the Lord's sake, for God's sake. Prophets will tell you, give your all for the Lord. Jesus will tell you, you are going to die for my sake. Jesus will tell you, take up your cross and follow me. Who is talking like that? Who talks like that? No, it's a normal human being who talk like that. That's why they took up stones to stone him now. Go and talk like that. Go and tell human beings, take up your cross and follow me. They may nod you. Jesus will tell you that if you will follow me. Eh? You know, I was reading my Bible today. I saw something. I had to post it. I know. It shook me too much. Jesus was about going to preach somewhere. And he told somebody, follow me. Yeah, can you tell somebody, leave everything and follow me? Who are you? Follow me. Then the man said, Master, I have the dead to bury. Like, I lost a loved one. Jesus, see what Jesus said. Let the dead bury their dead. You go and preach the kingdom of God. Ah! Who saw that thing on my status? Like, why are you so insensitive? Then you need to ask yourself, what does Jesus know about the kingdom that he will tell you, eh? If it means to ignore your dead relative, and go and preach the kingdom. What kind of commitment is he expecting from us? Please, are you following me?
Yes, sir.
The kind of things we give as excuses, we can't stand before Jesus and say it. Because Jesus will tell you, he told somebody that was going to bury his dead relative. So Jesus is your pastor. Sir, I couldn't come for Sunday service. Why? Sir, we lost a loved one and we just had to go and bury the person. Then Jesus says, imagine you told me, God forbid, but imagine you told me, Pastor, I lost my uncle, and this uncle has been so dear to me, and we just want to go and console the family on a Sunday morning, and we'll just go for the burial from there. Jesus now tells you, let the dead bury their dead. You come and preach the kingdom of God. Say, this pastor, yeah, a very wicked man. What kind of commitment is he expecting? Now, think about it. What kind of commitment is Jesus expecting? What kind of commitment is he expecting? That means you can't claim you are doing Christianity the Bible way until people say you are mad. And they start looking at you and say, your own is too much. Ah! What is it? Is it only you? Now you love Jesus, pass. It is that kind of commitment that changes the world. That's the truth. Okay. It says you contend because they are ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Also, apart from just commitment, there are people who can actually make you believe that the grace of God in Christ, eh, is your license to do whatever you want to do. I don't know, I teach it like that. That no matter what you do, see, as long as you believe in Christ, no matter what you do, you are loved, you are forgiven, he cares for you, he loves you, so flex.
misbehave the kind of misbehavior that even God said will be scared. Or sorry, even Satan said will be scared. Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. He says, contend against those things. That's not the way. Amen.
Amen.
Pastor, where are you still going? You have not explained to us Berea. You will find out now. Acts chapter 17. Acts 17. From verse 1. And for those of you who may be wondering, or somebody listening to me, who may be wondering and saying, Pastor, should we be that committed? The answer is an emphatic yes. At the end of the day, you will discover Jesus was worth it. At the end of the day, you will discover. He said, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? What will it profit a man? So Jesus is telling you that even if you gain the whole world, in comparison to your soul, is not worth it. Are you with me? At the end of the day, let me tell you. Somebody had a revelation. Rick Joyner, the great man of God, Rick Joyner, had a revelation and went to heaven. You know, in the Bible, if people go, when people die and go to hell, God did not allow them to come to the earth to talk about it. You know, I've talked about that before. In Luke 16, when people die and go to hell, you know, that rich man that died and went to hell, and he was telling Abraham, send Lazarus to go and talk to my five brothers to tell him that there is a place called hell. And Abraham said, no, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. That even if somebody rises from the dead, if they cannot hear the prophets, they should not hear someone that rose from the dead. So God does not send anybody from hell. But the people went to heaven, God allowed them to talk. John, Paul. Are you with me? God allowed people to talk about heaven. He didn't allow anybody to talk about hell. It seems like God is more interested in announcing his good news than his judgment. Are you with me? That's one. Number two, back to what I was talking about. Rick Joyner said he had a revelation and he went to heaven. When he got to heaven, he met Apostle Paul and Apostle John, and they told him that when they got here, they wished they served the Lord more. He said he even met Martin Luther. Martin Luther said all the great things he did for the Lord, if he knew that it was good, that if he knew that the kingdom of heaven is what it is, he would have served God times 100. Do you think it's a joke that God became a man, came into flesh and died to rescue human beings? Maybe there is more to Christ. There is more value to Christ than you have ever thought about. You've not put enough value on it. He says the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, and he found one of great price, and he sold all that he had to get it. Such is the kingdom of heaven. Until you begin to seek Christ and his kingdom, like the blessing and the glory and the honor that it is, you will not respond properly. I'm telling you. Serve me, Christ is worth it. Christ is worth it. Ah, Jesus. Acts 17 from verse 1. Let's start from. I will just read, and then I believe you'll get the point. The Bible says in Acts chapter 17 from verse 1, it says, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews, or a place in Thessalonica where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Are you following this? So much to say about that. So much to say about that. That this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Verse 4. And some of them believed and consulted with Paul and Silas. Okay, let me talk a little bit about verse 3. So, our upcoming campaign is called what? Kerygma. The apostolic preaching of the gospel. So, I and the pastors, we had a meeting yesterday, and I wrote out all the sessions of the camp meeting from Abuja to Lagos to Port Harcourt, Lagos Island, and it came out 16 sessions. And I also sent them the sermons I'm supposed to preach, all the things I'm going to teach in the 16 different sessions of all the for that camp meeting. I discovered that when I was done sharing the things I planned to teach, the sessions were not enough. I found out that I had 4 extra teachings that I was supposed to add. They were like, "Pastor, you plan also." So, why am I bringing that up? One of the teachings I was supposed to add there is what you can call the Christos. Now, in the Bible, after Adam and Eve sinned, it seemed like God began to talk about somebody who will restore man back to his original position in God's plan. So, for instance, you see Genesis chapter 3 from verse 15. After Adam and Eve sinned and all of that, and God disciplined them, he said to them, in the presence of the serpent, he said, "The seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent, but the serpent shall bruise his heel." Now, who is this seed of the woman? Are you with me? It keeps going on. You will see him say to Abraham that in thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. And you would think he's talking about Isaac. Later on, you will find out that in the book of Galatians, he was talking about Christ. He said, "And to thy seed," not to seeds as of many, but to seed as of one. So he keeps on going, talking about somebody. You will see him say in Isaiah chapter 11, he says, "A branch shall come out of Jesse, a root from the stem of Jesse, and upon him shall be 7 eyes, and the 7 eyes shall be the 7 spirits of God." So who is this root and offspring of Jesse? Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So that person who was spoken about in the entire Old Testament was called the Christ. The Jews were waiting for the Christ. By prophecy, they were waiting for the Christ, but they couldn't accept that Jesus is the Christ. Are you getting me?
Yes, sir.
So Paul now began to teach and explain that this Jesus that I preach to you is the Christ. So in God's plan, in God's charter, the Christ was an office that someone will come and fill that will fulfill all of God's plan. In fact, they believe that if you met the Christ, you are saved forever. You are saved from everything that men have done in the past, present, and the future. Say after me, "I've come to the Christ."
Glory.
Glory. Okay, so do you understand that? I just said that to explain verse 3. Verse 4, it says, "And some of them believed and consulted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. But the Jews which believed not," those Jews, they really had a beef with Jesus. You know the problem? Familiarity. They could not accept that this Jesus is the Christ. They couldn't. "But the Jews which believed not moved with envy and took certain of the lewd fellows of the baser sort and gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, 'These that have turned the world upside down are come thither also.'" So, let's jump to verse 9. "And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go." So, there was trouble everywhere because the Jews did not like the fact that they were coming to preach Jesus in the city of Thessalonica. Are you with me? Verse 10, it says, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea." Are you seeing that word?
Yes, sir.
Unto Berea. That's where we got the name Berean. "Who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews." If you are with your Bibles, read verse 11. He says, these were more noble. Who were more noble? The believers in Berea were more noble than the believers in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Hey, I remember reading this verse of the Bible some time ago. I was disturbed. How can the Bible say that a particular set of believers, are you with me, were more noble than another set of believers? You know, people say things like, all these pastors that say, receive of my grace, I am so like I'm higher than you. He said, nobody's higher than anybody in Christianity. That we all have the same grace. That we are, thank you, we are all equal. This one is not even talking about minister. This one is saying that some saints, in a certain region, the Bible says they were more noble. They were more spiritually excellent than some other set, than some other Christians in our region. Are you with me? Hi. This is the Bible. The Berean Christians were more noble than the Christians in Thessalonica. He's saying that. That means two believers in God's sight, even though you are equally saved by grace, in your Christian devotion, you are not equal. Are you with me? God can look at one believer and say, this believer is more noble than this one. This believer is more excellent than this one. And if you are a Christian and you care about Christ, you should desire. Are you with me? You should desire that you should be more noble in the things of the Lord. In fact, that word noble, let me read what the dictionary says about noble. What does it mean to be noble? To be noble means to be on an excellent class. It is usually used with respect to an aristocratic family. It is used to separate a certain class of people from the baser sort. Are you with me?
Yes,
you know, hi God, why is this thing coming up? Well, some of you can relate. That's why it's coming up. There was a film that rained many years ago, but I watched it very late. I watched it in 2004. It rained and it was watched in 2004. And usually, it had to do with, at some point in the movie, they had to fight. So, for you to fight in that competition, you have to be a knight of Camelot, something like that. And for you to be a knight, you have to be part of a noble family. If you are not part of the noble family, you won't even be allowed into the competition. If you are not part of that class of family, the noble family, if you are not part of nobility, they will ask you, who is your father? You come there, you say you want to be participate, they ask you, who is your father? What lineage do you come from? Are you part of the noble family? Are you part of nobility? So he's saying that in the kingdom, there are the nobles. Are you following me? Say after me, in the name of Jesus, I'll be part of the nobles in the family of God. Glory. And how? You see, before I rush to how did they become nobles, this ideology of different classes in your spiritual journey is littered around the Bible. While it looks like a very religious thing to say that we are all equal, in salvation we are all equal, but in ministry and discipleship we are not all equal. And it's not God's fault too. Is your choice. It's not that God just say this one. No. No, it's you that choose. You choose. You know, there are some of us that believe that anybody who becomes anything mighty in God, maybe God just picks the person. Of course, there is a place of a divine call. But listen, apart from calling to ministry, and even in ministry, there is a way you can design your ministry. God will say you are part of the nobles. I'm telling you. You know, one day I was talking to our pastors. I said, may I not be the pastor that when people decide to be get serious with God, they will find no use for me. Do you hear what I said? You know, you can be going to church and just be just the normal average person, just careless, just anyhow you won't be. Then one day you say, I want to know the Lord more. Then you come back to that same pastor that you were enjoying the message that they were just cracking jokes throughout. Now you come and no. This is not the kind of word that will make me know the Lord more. I need an now pastor. Are you with me? I said, I don't want to be the pastor. I want to be the kind of pastor that when people say I want to know God well, when they really want to mean business with God, they'll say, no, I think I'm in the right place. Do you know? Okay, let me say this on a side note. Do you know how many people, even members and of people who are not members of this church, how many people follow New Breed online? Like, I'm their spiritual father online just because they follow the teachings. I didn't know it was very serious until last Sunday. Somebody messaged me from Warri. He said, we follow you here. Say every Sunday, we they gather, they watch this thing. Glory. The certain sister in Europe, in Ireland, she said her friend introduced her to our teachings. And in her church, because of New Breed teachings, in 2022, she was the highest soul winner of the year. Then she asked herself, these people that taught me like this, till I loved the Bible so much, she took ticket and flew down from Europe to Lagos to come for a Lagos camp meeting last year. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This ideology, you see it in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 1 to 2. Paul is speaking to the Corinthian church. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Verse 2. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able. So that means they were Christians, but Paul said they were still carnal. He knew their level by their disposition. He says, you are still babies. You are still carnal. I've been trying to feed you with meat, but I cannot feed you with meat. So I will just give you milk because you are still carnal. That means in the kingdom, there are some things that are called meat. There are some things that are called milk. For instance, what we are going to teach in the immersion camp is obviously meat. Because it's still the gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, but it's meat. Now, it's as though when you are done, it will be like they remove veils from your eyes. When you are reading the Bible, you'll be like, I see. You know, people, you know those days, they used to tell us, if you are reading the Bible, everything, if you meet something you don't understand, just jump it and keep on reading. Who had that advice years ago? Is it a good advice? Very good at a certain level. It's very good. At least you are reading. Please, are you with me? At least you are reading the Bible. But there is a stage you grow. You now understand, this is what Paul meant here. This is what John meant here. This is what Apostle Peter meant here. This is what Jesus meant here. Do you know that there are things that Jesus said in the Bible that people don't still understand? Do you know? There are some things, if I bring them out right now, you will be confused. So now, he's telling us that there is milk and there is meat. One simple way you know that the person is at the milk level is, what can he stand? Can he stand the word of God properly exegeted? Can he stand the word of God properly broken down? That's why I'm doing ministry where I'm doing it. I know that there are some people that it will be difficult for them to stand Bible like this. Just tell us, God will do it. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Do we do that? Yes. From Sunday alone, after the prayer on Sunday, I've gotten enough. People have already shared testimonies of new jobs. Do we believe in that? Yes. But there is a problem if you emphasize fruit at the expense of roots. Because the day you keep on emphasizing fruit at the expense of roots and eventually cut the root, after a while, the fruits will begin to die out. Don't joke with your roots. Are you with me? Do we believe in signs and wonders? Do we believe in miracle marriages? Yes, and it will happen to many of you. Amen. I want to hear your loudest amen. Amen. By this time next year, more than half of you sitting here will already be married. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. And you will not be struggling. Amen. Not that you'll be struggling to survive. No, God will open major doors for you. Amen. Say that amen with faith. Amen. is done in Jesus' name.
There are some people, if we start talking about knowing Jesus more, growing deeper in the Lord, what does the Bible say? They are just tired. Have you not met Christians like that? They will just sleep off. Once you start talking about, breaking the evil pots. There can be a pot in your family that may be tying your leg down. Once you start talking about, Pastor, now me. Hey, am I saying that they are not demonic? I did not say that. But they are more concerned about, you hear Christians, they are more interested in listening to an ex-occult member that is now a Christian. He's talking about the occult world. In that place, in the night, they will spill blood, pour on their lips, do like this. They want to hear those type of stories. They are interested in stories. Let's talk about the gospel.
They'll say, gospel, every time, deep word. He says, so the Greek word for gospel, he say, nah, no one know this one, what this one? Just, they like things that will interest their, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Their carnal excitement. They are still babies. They are still babies.
He says, I fed you with milk. I can feed you with milk. There is a way I will preach. Even if, when you listen to preachers. God.
This thing I want to see. God, please. Let them not misunderstand me. Do you know that I can start talking about emotional trauma from today to next year? Eh? People will listen more. People will, it relates. It just relates with me. It just relates with me. Just with me. Is it bad? No. But if I'm feeding you like, if that's all you're hearing every day, you know that that's milk. When you mature, you know that God is stronger than feelings. There are many times you will not feel close to God, but you will still pray. You will now know when you start becoming a man in the things of the spirit, you will not feel like it, but you will know it. You will know like it. Hey, how will you be Abraham? How can you circumcise yourself? How? The Bible says God told Abraham to circumcise himself. Abraham circumcised himself and his 318 servants trained in his house. That was the father of faith. Abraham's blessings are mine. That's a father. That's Abraham. They are not looking at feelings. What did God say? We get it done. So they have gone beyond, you know the way. You know the way I just feel. I just feel like nobody loves me. I just feel like nobody sees me. Nobody sees you. God sees you.
God sees me.
Say after me, God sees me.
God sees me.
See, when you are a man of faith, that rugged faith. Actually, what makes that faith rugged is the love of God, though. But you have known it beyond just the way you feel. So Abraham knows that if he sent me out of my father's house, even though I don't have money in my pocket, even though I'm living in tents, even though I'm looking confused, one day he will give me a sitter whose builder and maker is God. Are you with me? So it's not that you don't believe in the love of God, or you don't emphasize the love of God. That's not what I'm talking about. You know it, but you know it beyond how you feel. Are you getting me? A baby will cry, I don't have money. This is my life safe. Why is my life like this? I don't have money. I will lend to nations. That's the father talking. I will lend to nations. Abraham, count the stars of heaven. If you can number them, so shall your children be. Hey, that's the father of faith. A father of faith to say, even though I'm in a storm like Paul, I'll say, I believe God. It shall be even as it was told me. Are you with me? I thought you would say, I believe God. Okay, I'm preaching to myself. Let me. Hebrews 5 verse 12 to 13. It says, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have
need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Verse 13, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now, are you noticing that this maturity that we are talking about in Christ, or this growth that we're talking about, has a lot to do with, they talked about milk, I'll feed you with milk and not with strong meat. We saw it in 1 Corinthians 3, we are seeing it in Hebrews 5. That means there is a lot in you becoming more noble that has to do with doctrine. That has to do with knowledge. That has to do with your understanding. Are you with me? That has to do with your way of seeing things. Look at Paul. He got to Melita. Oh my God. While standing in Melita, after the boat had gone through a lot of disturbing times, and he was wet there, shaking, they put him close to the fire. A snake came out and beat him. Every other person said, it's because your way no pure. Now, because your way no pure, now why did Paul just shook it into the fire? Another person will go through a bad time and say, what if God does not care about me again? Paul just shook it into the fire. He sees circumstances differently. Some people, they are on that level. When you are a baby, you are unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. When you mature, you now know that you don't discern physical, you don't use physical things to interpret spiritual things. Instead, you use spiritual things to interpret physical things. Are you with me? For he's a babe. So, back to Berea. What made them more noble? Acts 17 verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming to that went into the synagogue of the Jews. Verse 11. Everybody, verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received. Can we all read verse 11 if you are with your Bibles? 1, 2, 3, go. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily. What are those things were so? Are you seeing this? Read it again. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily. What are those things were so? That's what it means to be Berean. That's what made them more noble. You know, nobody becomes a spiritual giant just like that. Everybody started by searching the scriptures daily. And by searching the scriptures daily, they now began to say that, okay, even though this is what I previously understood, if this is what the Bible says, okay, I need to adjust my mind. They read it again. Oh, I need to adjust my mind. They read it again. By the time they keep on adjusting their mind and saying, okay, if the Bible says I should be like this, then I should be like this. And keep acting out. One day they realize that, I've become a giant. I've become a noble. That's what happened to me. I found out that, as I read the word of God more, a time came where there was more boldness in the things of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. So, what made the Bereans special? Number one, they received the word of God with readiness of mind. Say after me, readiness of mind. Say it again, readiness of mind. Do you know there are many churchgoers who, they don't receive the word of God with readiness of mind. They are just, they think it is okay to be lukewarm spiritually. They don't see something wrong with it. There is no readiness of mind. They have not really taken it in their heart. I want to, you know, when Pastor Ekini was leading the opening prayer and he said, pray that God helps you contend for your walk with the Lord. They have not seen it like it's something to take serious. So after me, readiness of mind. Amen. Then after, they now investigated what they received. So, after readiness of mind, they paid attention to details. They paid attention to what? Details. So, they had a keen eye. What made them more noble was that there was a readiness of mind. And number two, they had a keen eye that this thing, is this actually what this thing is? Let's check again. Now, they were not doing it
for the sake of coming to argue on Twitter. They were not doing it to prove a point. They were doing it just to be right with God. They were doing it to be properly right with God, to follow God properly. That's the aim of spiritual growth. That's the aim of Bible study. That's the aim of spiritual maturity. You want to do it better. You want to get it right with God. You want to please the Lord more. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Not to go online and argue and say this one is correct. See, when you know the word of God more, you will be more gracious to those who have missed it. You cannot be claiming you are preaching grace and you don't have grace, graciousness in your approach to those who you feel like are wrong. There are many things. See, there is no Christ. As long as the person believes in Jesus Christ, I can flow with you. Are you with me? I may know more than you. There are many things I know. Eh? But I don't use it for arguments. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, see what we talked about baptism on Saturday at the disciples, DRC, Disciples of Fresher Course. Have you ever seen me come online and say anybody that is doing water baptism, they are stupid, they are confused? Have you ever seen me do that? It's not. But we know more. We know better. So when people are at a certain level, you just manage with them. In fact, you bear them up. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Okay. And so, as we grow spiritually, this should be our disposition. One more verse as we still look at this and begin to round up. Romans 16 verse 17. You know, even though I talked about Berea, if you study the early church, this thing was part and parcel of the early church. You will see Acts 2 verse 42. You will see Acts 5 verse 28. It says they are filled the land with doctrine. That means they were big on doctrine. They were big on paying attention to the word of God. You see Acts 2 verse 42. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Look at that word. They continue steadfastly. Say that means steadfastly. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. So let's go to Romans 16, verse 17. It says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Ah! Is it that bad? Yes, according to the Bible. You know, ah, my God. First of all, when he says, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to doctrine, he's saying in your Christian life, avoid distractions. Avoid people who sound confusing. Are you with me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
See, I sometimes ask myself, if people study the Bible, there are some things we will not be saying. How can you just come out online and preach Mary is not the mother of Jesus? Like, he says, mark them. Those can be the way they talk that kind of thing. People who just like to bring divisions, confusions, offenses. Are you with me? God, you know, ask Noah to build the ark. Genesis 6 verse 14. Make me an ark of gopher wood. Are you with me? Of gopher wood. You want to confuse. He says, mark people who know how to cause confusions. You know, it's a painful thing that right now in the body of Christ, because of things like that, we are still arguing about. Christians are still arguing about the deity of Christ. Christians are still arguing if every Christian should pray in tongues. Christians are still arguing the way to be saved. Are you with me? Christians are still arguing about God's plan for prosperity. Christians are still arguing about God's plan for your healing. Do you know that there are believers that believe that God puts sickness on people to teach them a lesson? Have you not heard things like that? There are Christians that believe that some sicknesses, God puts sickness on people. Say, take, collect. That this sickness, it used to teach you a lesson. That through this sickness, you will learn humility. Who has heard things like that before? You have heard it before, Abby? The Bible says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners, You know what I'm sharing with you? I'm sharing with you what how it is to hear something, then you go and check the Bible and it does not correspond. So you don't cause a battle, but you just act, you avoid that kind of person. The Bible says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners, in time past spoken to us by the prophets, has in this last day spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed the heir of all things. That means God explained himself in Jesus Christ, right? So we want, if we can know God's mind about sickness, look at Jesus in dealing with sickness. When Jesus was on the earth, did you ever see any time where he said, you know what? The Pharisees, you people are very stubborn. God needs to teach you that only God has the power to receive sickness. All through the 33 and a half years that Jesus did ministry on this earth, all through the 33 and a half years he lived on this earth, he never found one example. There was no, he didn't have one time where he gave people dashable sickness to teach them a lesson. Oh, Paul's thorn in the flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul called it a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan. So it was sent from Satan. So somebody will say, okay, are you not saying somebody, God cannot use a circumstance to teach a person? God can use a circumstance to teach a person, does not mean the circumstance came from God. Job was affected by the devil. It was Satan that came and sent all the plagues to Job. In that process, God began to teach Job, did you command the morning since your day? Did you know about the when Job began to ask God stupid questions? God started saying, sit up, let me talk to you. God began to teach Job. In the midst of the challenge, God taught Job. That does not mean God was the one that brought the challenge. Are you with me? So you have to learn to mature your discernment to say, this thing, where is, how is it properly explained in the Bible? Satami Beria. Praise the Lord. Satami, I'm blessed. Christians disagree about the Holy Spirit. Hey, God. Did they disagree? But you see, Paul and the in his epistles to his spiritual son Timothy, 2 Timothy 2 verse 15, it's a study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you need to study to rightly divide. You need to study to check. Study to see what does the Bible say. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 12. Let's read this one. 1 Timothy, okay, we have read this, right? Have we read this? Okay, so let's just read together. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Actually, this was for Timothy, but by extension, it's for all of us. Are you with me? Now, look at 1 Timothy 4 verse 12 to 13. 1 Timothy 4 verse 12 to 13. He says, let no man despise thy youth. Oh my God. That was a verse that spoke to me. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word. The first thing is what? In word. In word. In word. When you open your mouth and talk, they say, hey, where you come from? Glory! Vicky, remember YBG? That conference. They invited me last year to a conference in Abuja to preach. So when I came, the organizer, the moderator, the woman, very tall and hefty woman. Tall, you know that kind of people that their height can intimidate you. Tall, fine, hefty woman said, our guest speaker, well, we thank God for his life. He's a young man that God is using. Open your heart and be blessed. That was the introduction. I said, no problem. Me, I want, give me 4 hours. So I climbed. When we are done with the teaching, she came back and said, I miscalculated this young man. She said, say what? He said, this is what they call small but mighty. In my mind, I was laughing. I said, oh, because I look like a almost pygmy container. Yeah. Even though I look like pygmy container, God has prepared me for the pig. Are you with me? Hey. The Bible says a glorious high throne is the place of your dwelling from the beginning. He has written about the peak. He says he will take you above all nations of the earth. That's where, say after me, that's my place. Glory!
Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word.
Now, everybody read verse 13. Look at verse 13. I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. This is why we are the way we are.
Oh, Pastor David, you don't have 1,000 members. We have 10, we have 15. That 10, I will teach you.
You go know God. I will teach you to the point where in your sleep, when God is talking to you, you will hear him clearly. Are you with me? Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. When you open your mouth and talk, they will say, who are you? How you sabi this thing like this? It's called Berean Christians. I remember those days. We'll finish Bible study like this. I and my friends, Saki, Chizia, Makri. The Bible study is so sweet. We carry a Bible in our armpit like this. If you see us on the road, the way we are walking, you know that we have chopped wood. You're walking like this. People look at this boy, it's crazy, boring people. You know, somebody said, do you know why pastors put their Bible in their feet? Because the word of God is sure. The word is sure. The word is sure. The word. Hey! Have you thought, you know, I remember, you know, these days, social media, you see young people every time, pam, 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 pam. There were times where you just see young people. I remember teenage ministry those days, our coordinators got tired of us because at a point in the ministry, before that move started, they were always complaining that every time you meet teenagers, they were asking you, I want to date this girl, this is my girlfriend. They were always trying to say, no, focus on God. They now got to that point. Eh? The teenagers, that was my own generation. Because I got born again and I came and imparted that thing. One day, the bishop of the diocese came and said, what did these teenagers collect? They are praying like they are mad people. After service, they will stay back and do their own Bible study. I mean, Sunday service, teenagers are still in church, praying, studying the Bible. T3, T4. At a point, the coordinators, they used to struggle to write manual. They say, hey, what are we going to teach that they would like? Let us talk about dating. Next week, let's talk about your dressing. A time now came, they're talking about those things. They say, no, teachers say, no, we are tired. We won't talk about the Holy Spirit. See? It's Holy Ghost we won't talk about. Today, we won't talk about righteousness by faith. So they want to talk about, at the point, it's like, these people, they have passed also. Their own curriculum have passed what, are you with me? Quickly, how do you contend for truth? Number one, be Berean. Tell your neighbor, be Berean. Have a heart for the word of God. Determined to grow and become noble in the things of the spirit. Number two, have a personal life of the word. Have a personal life of the word. You know, some things people are struggling. If you just read your Bible. If you just read the Bible. No matter how slow, at least read one chapter. Oh, no matter how bad, read 5 verses. Just read something. Are you with me? Yes, Pastor, I don't have time. People don't have time, but they have 10 hours of screen time. Pastor, I don't have time, but you have time to eat all the things you plan to eat. No matter how busy a person eats, they still have time to eat. They still have time to go to the toilet. You have time to read the Bible. Some of us, just between here and the house, inside your boat, you can open one chapter. Fam, you are done. 3 verses, you are done. Sometimes, Bible reading itself, the devotional Bible reading, they will put just to put earpiece and be doing what you are doing. Just put earpiece, The God of this world, distraction. Just put earpiece, Hey God, I too tired to read. Oh yeah, play the audio Bible. The Kata Bible. Just there's a button called audio. Just press it. Okay, I will take 3 verses per day. Some people, as small as 3 verses per day, they know they do. Have you ever tried to stay for 3 days without eating food? Who has tried that before? How did you feel on the 3rd day? You felt so weak. Some of you, I remember the first day, I'm sure Vicky can remember, we served together in Makodi. There was a time I was doing 7 days dry fasting. On the sixth day, I could not move again. I was crawling on the floor. That was the day I broke the fast. I crawled to the kitchen. I said, give me that plate of beans. Give me. I cannot forget. Monday morning, rice and beans with stew. I said, give me. I'll not do it again. And some people have gone 1 year. They cannot boast of 5 chapters of the Bible. Some of them, their spirit, it's just that the spirit is eternal. It has eternal life inside. But where it is, have you seen that meme where you see somebody standing like, this? You kick it, it cannot move. Nothing. Holy Ghost is shouting, pray! The spirit says, right now, no feet. Mission impossible. Jump on your feet. So number one, be Berean. Number two, have a personal life of prayer. Number three, be accountable to a spiritual family. Be accountable. Don't just run off with every wind of doctrine. Ask your pastors questions. Pastor, what does this mean? Be accountable. Be accountable. Be committed to a spiritual family. See, you cannot attend a church like New Breed and you are not serious spiritually. It is difficult. It's difficult. Because we are tricking you everywhere. Everywhere. Tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., you see Link. You pretend like you don't see it, you saw it. If you slept and woke up late, you still see that there was a Link that a human being prayed and you did not pray. You are not there when they were praying. In the afternoon, you will see afternoon devotion Link. In the evening, there is workers meeting by 9. In the workers meeting, they will pray like 15 minutes first. Are you with me? The workers' business, they are explaining to the workers about the workforce. They are opening Bible inside. Saturday, 9 p.m., they have started, 6 a.m., so there's prayer. 9 p.m., you can't escape if you're in the right spiritual community. Before you ask a question, when you are thinking that thing, that bad thing, you know, a lady met me one time and said, Pastor, I don't like your church, in Port Harcourt Church. I said, why? She said, every time I plan to do something bad, you will just come on Sunday and it's me. He said, even if you're not talking about it, it's just malingering. You will just deviate and enter the thing. Why? He said, it's me. He said, this church, I don't even know. The right spiritual community. For instance, if you receive everything we taught on Sunday, even your personal life will change. If you received all the natural laws and the spiritual laws of prosperity, your life will change. Ask my wife, ask people that are close to me. No, you cannot be a lazy human being and survive around me. We'll choke it out about you. We'll choke you. I'll just come and meet you. What book have you read since this month? What have you done? What? You can't be a lazy person. So after me, I choose to be Berean. So, quickly, let's go through it. How are you, Berean? Number one. How do you contend for the truth? Number one. Be Berean. Number two. Have a personal life of the word. Let me add prayer too. Some of you, the word and prayer. Pastor, I've not prayed. I'm struggling to pray. 5 minutes. Oh. Some of you, 5 minutes prayer. 10 minutes prayer. The spiritual cup is not very big yet. That 5 minutes prayer, you'll be charged. 5 minutes, you are charged. There's a level you reach. 1 hour, you are still starting. You know, when you were small, if you drink, some of you could not drink one sachet water. Now, some of you, two, you are not enough. It's not enough. You know what is happening? You are growing. If your 5 minutes prayer that you were praying 10 years ago is sufficient for you, you have not grown. This pastor, he did find trouble. Some people, one plate of bole and fish is still not enough. They need more. How come you are satisfied with only that 45-minute sermon? By now, camp meeting, you say, God, finally I will eat well, spiritually. Are you with me? That's proof you are growing. I remember Baby Joy. that cerelac we used to buy for her, a time came, we will give her cerelac. She will not eat again. She will come and eat the curry with us. We will give her the cerelac. She will pour it out from her mouth. She said, she doesn't want this one. Is this curry she wants? How come, after all these years in your spiritual life, you are still contented with cerelac? We want to talk about the word of righteousness. You say, no, there's, speak to my feelings. Tell your neighbor, it's time for more. Just exalt the name of Jesus. Pray in the spirit right now.